Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Laura Armenta is a self-described Mexican-born performing artist, experienced educator, inspirational speaker, community leader, adventurous entrepreneur, and functional movement coach. Quite the powerful woman, but she does admit to a love for knitting and crocheting, hence she knows how to balance her probably God-given energy and more. So welcome to our Powerful Women Let's Talk, Laura.
Hello.
So I bet you've knit a lot of hats for the wintertime.
You know, I don't.
Oh.
I love sweaters, scarves. For a while, I had a thing about sweaters for all my family. Anytime that is a holiday of any kind, I like knitting for my friends or whatever. Mm. So I do use it as a stress relief.
We'll get to that part of my fun facts.
All right.
Because knitting and crocheting does involve one to sit and do so. But I want to take a part of that lengthy self-description. So here we go. Mexican-born performing artist. Tell me about your upbringing, Laura.
So yes, I was born and raised in Mexico City, big city. And I think culturally speaking, everybody dances in South America in general. I come from a family where everybody, of course, is into celebrations. My mom loved all the traditional dances, salsa, all the cumbia rhythms. And I used to be an athlete, running. That was my thing. But I discovered that dance was a way to communicate. And when I was 13, I officially discovered contemporary dance, and that truly changed my life. I was very lucky to connect with a teacher that really embraced my journey and trained me and guided me. And there is plenty more from there. But I was 13 when I realized that dance was not just the fun aspect of the cultural tradition.
How did you get to Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Oh, goodness. Well, that's a big jump. Well, I was moving all over the states, initially Washington, D.C., New York City, Detroit area.
Living your dream as in the movement world?
Yes, training, dancing. When I was in New York City, I trained with Martha Graham's company, with Alvin Alley. I attempted to do some teaching at Wayne State in Detroit area. And of course, I was a lot younger, so I always had this adventurous spirit. So I was just going all over the place. And eventually, I ended up in West Michigan and decided to stay just because at the time there were circumstances. And then I realized that being into many bigger cities, West Michigan gave me the opportunity to be more a pioneer on the things that I do. So here I am. It's been 27 years.
Yes. More on the educational journey. You're very highly educated. Tell me more.
So through Mexico's Fine Arts Institute, I have education in contemporary dance and choreography, but I also study a little bit of dance anthropology. So through the dance anthropology aspect, I focus on Middle Eastern dances, some Indian dance. I like everything, mm-hmm. but interesting that everybody asked me, what's your favorite dance style? And truly, I think it's more a matter of how I wake up, what's my mood. It changes. I have personally the tendency to be dramatic, so contemporary dance is really where my heart goes in those cases. But due to a knee injury back in 91, again, journey took me into discovering yoga. And that was how I yet have another transformation, evolution of who I became. And I got certified in different approaches for yoga philosophy. So from Kundalini, some Ashtanga flows and things like that. So that led me to yet another aspect, which is yoga Thai therapy. And it's like the sister discipline of yoga is body work, energy work. Mm-hmm. And I have always, in addition to all this, been a lover of martial arts. So through my youth, I have trained in capoeira, a little bit of aikido, Tai Chi, combat Tai Chi. I think Muay Thai for a while at some point, but dancing is my life.
Yes. And what is your present life here? Running a business called?
Yes, so our Mentality Movement Art Center, coming up next year, we are going to celebrate 25 years of not the location, but my trademark per se, what I do, how I do it. And it's called Our Mentality, obviously, because it's a play on words, it's the mentality, the Our Mental style. And within the center, I do many things. So I practice my yoga, Thai therapy, which is one-on-one. I do coaching also for functional movement. I offer dance classes that are from professional to recreational. And for a while, I took a break with my dance company, but I'm back at it, thankfully, now that the pandemic is becoming more at ease. I have done a lot of collaborations. And the space is also like a small venue. Occasionally we do events in there, and it's also an open space for other creatives. So it's a nest of anything that has to do with movement and holistic arts.
Yes. Before I continue taking apart your self-described Laura Armenta, where did you get this motivation to follow the many passions you have? Was that, do you go back to your mom, the dancer? What keeps you so passionately driven to succeed the way you are?
Oh, goodness. Well, as far as the dancing aspect, the way I see it and the way I was trained is that life in general is a constant dance. We're always in motion. I believe that stagnation is just the worst thing you could do at any level. So evolving, you know, I see people walking, and I see how everybody has a different rhythm of walking, different pace. I love watching children, babies, how they develop their body mechanics, and that's also an exploration. So I think dance as what you think of social dance is one aspect, but dance as the dance of life. It could be many things, because it could be healing, therapeutic, and it's movement in general. I don't like thinking, oh, I got this. There is always more. Okay, what's next? What can I do? And it's always in relation to the body, but a lot of the cultural interaction is what feeds my art, per se.
Yes. You also are an inspirational speaker. What do you speak about?
Well, it all began because of my knee surgery. I've had two knee surgeries, but obviously both of them were very dramatic. Yes. And back in 91, when I was a professional dancer in a dance company, I thought I owned the world. And suddenly this knee surgery were like, boom, put you into, now you have nothing, now you can't walk. Of course, this is before arthroscopy surgery, right? So I ended up with a cast all the way to my hip, wheelchair, braces. So the fact that emotionally I was in devastation mode, and I was able to not only come back, but discover that beyond just being a dancer, I had the capacity to be a choreographer, where I express my own ideas. Being a choreographer and an artistic director of a dance troupe is yet another step from being just a performer, where you just listen to what the director tells you. So learning how to move my own body empowered me to, you know, decide, hey, I can do this. And when I do my speaking presentations, it's going to how emotionally I was into the deep down low, and be able to be self-reliant and not only come back, but really have that determination that this is not going to stop me. And so in general, I want to encourage people to find that one moment where there is a click that says, no, I still have this. And later on, to recent time, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, that was another moment where I thought, okay, this is a click where I have to figure out what to do. And my conversations when I share stories is more about what are those moments where you really have darkness, but there is a point, a bright point that makes you come back alive. So it's a combination between what movement can do for us in a healing aspect, in a way that we connect with ourselves. So I share my personal story to inspire people to overlap your own story and say, hey, you can do this.
Do you see young women in your classes? Are young women understanding the importance of movement and finding their passions?
Yeah.
If not, how does one experiment with her passions?
Well, at our mentality, I offer different options of movement. And one of them is called organic flow, which is not a technical dance. It's not social dance. It's really an exploration in which the dancers, the movers, are prompt with emotion, words. We do a little writing ahead of time to say, hey, what is one thing that you would like to improve or get rid of? Everybody has some kind of fears or trauma of some sort. Recently, I had a student that, for example, was very fearful of the entire world because of the pandemic. So through this process, it was like, let's get into your breath, how the breath takes you into visions, images, and then translate that. Let your body speak, not necessarily on looking a beautiful dancer, but into, even if it's abstract and at some point grotesque, how is that your body is going to express things? And that release is the kind of guidance that I do, so that it's not always, you know, smiling in partner dance, per se.
Let's talk about your community. How do you look to see how you best fit in your community niche?
I love diversity, and I think just, I believe on the fact that your tribe comes once you project your vibe, right? So because I don't like to stick to one thing only, same in the connection that I do with community, with different organizations. I knock at the door with different organizations to do yoga for some people or dance for others. And at the same time, I have a lot of dances that represent cultures from like West Africa, Dominican Republic. So it's like by itself, I think it's like when bees follow.
Don't get stung.
Yeah. But really, I guess I don't have an explanation. It's just me constantly knocking at the door, and the fact that I do use a lot of social media, right? So putting out there, hey, today we're coming up with this new thing. Just random ladies, random students come and say, hey, I want to check this out. So,
well, they feel your passion and want to be involved. You love knitting and crocheting. When did this start and how do you sit down and do this?
Well, In part, I was raised by my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, and she got me into absolutely all the things that ladies are supposed to know. So training into cooking and knitting, crocheting, and cross stitch was my thing. So I think I was probably 7 or 8 when I started doing all that. And obviously, being in Michigan, knitting is the best because I was not used to the cold. So I love layering in the winter. And then I realized that I read a book, which honestly, I don't remember which one, but something about the energy that you put when you're knitting. And so I realized that it was the best thing to do, you know, to create stuff as a gift for friends and family, because the idea is that you are putting love and positivity into the knitting as you're going to gift it to someone. So I really love it.
Nice. All right. I don't need the whole list, but you have a very eclectic Spotify list. What does this mean? Music still is in your life everywhere, I trust.
Yes. Yeah. In the morning, I just have to like, okay, boom, I'm awake, set it up. And it has from mariachi, from Led Zeppelin, The Doors, a little bit of Sting. Really, it's a mix and match. So when you shuffle it, you cannot believe that we went really from a mariachi song to hard rock sometimes. But yeah, that's my thing. I just like the changes.
Some have a couple cups of coffee. You get your jam on,
I'm,
as
I'm
they
not
say.
I'm a coffee drinker, so the music is it.
You love spinning. Tell me about what
spinning. Oh, the spinning,
mean.
Yes. Yeah. As I mentioned before, I used to be an athlete, and I used to be a sprinter. And the intensity of like, in few seconds, go as fast as possible. Now that I have 2 knee surgeries, is something that I cannot do. And I have never been a long distance runner. It's just a whole different mindset. But the same energy I get it when I'm on my dance studio, basically anywhere, and spin. You know how kids do that?
Yeah, you're talking spinning with your body, spinning on a bike.
No, just spinning. Dancers, we call it spotting when you go. Yeah. And if you've seen the Dervish dancers, Turkey and Persian mm-hmm. dancers, mm-hmm. I don't think they spin as fast, but it's just this constant rotation, which is almost like meditation for me. It's a nice vibration.
Wow.
I just love spinning.
Nice. We had time, we'd try it. How many languages do you speak?
Well, I've studied many, but I'm fluent in obviously Spanish is my first language. English, because I live here, is what I have to do. Arabic, more on the, not North African, because I study Arabic, then North African, it's a little more complicated because it has a fusion with French, but the West Asian version. So I can read Arabic, I can write Arabic, but more like kids do. Mm-hmm. So not, I can read the paper and not really know everything.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, I've studied Japanese, a little bit of Persian. I attempted Chinese, but that was very difficult. Mm-hmm. So within 3 days, I'm like, no, thank you, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Currently, actually, I'm looking at learning Nahuatl, which is the traditional, the ancient language from Mexico. And mm-hmm. I figured, if I love languages, I gotta go back to my roots. My grandma used to speak it, but I never learned it.
Thank you for that. And when you choose lunch, you're gonna go vegan and minimalist. Expand that.
Well, vegan, yes, is my diet per se, but also the combination of being minimalist is, I personally don't like furniture because I like open spaces, because I like moving and dancing. So I figure, okay, these tendencies of mine since being a teenager, not only didn't disappear, but just remain constant. So I figure open spaces, minimalism, super basics. I don't do crazy shopping. I am not addicted to shoes, jewelry, nothing. Bare minimum, I think, is important to live life experiencing and enjoying the experience rather than gather things. And, you know, I don't have a big closet with the stuff. It's like, yep, basic, boom, basic colors. Just really being minimalist in as many aspects as possible.
Although you picked the best color, red. Yes. What's your advice to the young Lauras, to gals that are looking to find their way? We'll all make a mistake or two, but what, I'll look back, what's your advice?
I think everybody needs to look in the mirror and appreciate what they see no matter what. This is something I learned in my own journey because I did come from a dysfunctional childhood to some degree, and self-love, self-appreciation is something that took me decades to accomplish, but I do believe that connection of the body mind is somehow like socially is missing. So not only a specific gender, in general, I think if we are going to make mistakes, that's okay, make your own and learn from the lesson, but don't punish yourself forever. I have learned to really look in the mirror and appreciate what I see, because for a long time I didn't, and it's such a basic thing that if we really think about it mindfully every morning, to stand in the mirror, about to brush your teeth or whatever, and to say, hey, I got you. Yes, you're cool. Those tiny things that you do on a daily basis to really appreciate who we are, I think is a must do.
Great. You're going to leave us with an inspirational motto?
Oh, goodness. Oh, I thought that was it. be adventurous and open mind and have an open heart as well. Same like I mentioned earlier, no stagnation, same. You gotta be open to receive.
Nice.
I think.
All right, say goodbye in one of the languages that you know.
Arigato gozaimashita.
Thank you very much, Laura Minta, for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Thank you.
Produced by Women, About Women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.